Well, good morning, church. Good morning, church. Before we get into anything, I'd love for just a second if we could lift up a shout of praise for Pastor Shane and his family. I have never met a fighter in my life than the Stanford family. Amen. And we're excited because we believe the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And so we want to pray alongside them. We want to come alongside them. There will be ways, both seen and unseen, that we can come together and be the body, just as Pastor Shane comes up here every single week and gives the word from the Lord. So be looking and be ready and be willing. Because guess what? When one goes through something like this, we go through it all together, because that's what the body is about. My name is Andrew Grissom. I get the honor to serve as a member of our staff here at Christ Church. But before I was a member of the staff, this is my place of worship. And I come to you not as someone who has it all together, but someone who is a sinner saved by grace, desiring to search for a word from the Lord. And so I would encourage you this morning, as we open up God's word, that you would come in that presence of saying, Lord, would you make me available to what you have in store today? So I'm going to pray for us, and I'd encourage you that you get in a posture of prayer as well, and let's really dig into what the Lord has in store. Pray with me. God of the universe, we declare that you are mighty. God, in the midst of these days, in the midst of everything that is going on, as we begin to glimpse out at what life may be like as we are coming out of this pandemic, and what life may be like as we all have so many things going on in our lives, we just for a second want to sit at your presence. We want to hear what you have to say, Father. So God, as we open your word this morning, would you speak? And would you give us ears to hear, to not just listen to what you have to say, but to trust it? Father, we pray for our pastor, Shane. We pray for his family. God, would you bring healing? We believe you can do it. God, we pray that in the midst of this time that you would not just continue to bring healing physically, but God, you would bring people around them to encourage them to be the body. God, because we believe you have great things in store. And so, God, as we open your word right now, I pray more of you and less of me. More of you and less of me. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen. Amen. Have you ever heard of the phrase, there's always two sides to every coin? There's always two sides to every coin. Whether you may be talking about a friend, or you may be talking about somebody, or you may be in a situation and you're like, you know, there's always two sides to every coin. I think in the midst of this, as you think about those both of those sides of the coin, there's always a side that you prefer, and there's always a side that you don't necessarily prefer, right? For all those football fans out there, how do you begin a game, right? The captains go out to the middle of the field, and the referees come out, and they look at one side, and they say, which side do you want, heads or tails? And guess what? Every single time they say, hey, we prefer heads, or we prefer tails. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. The coin's flipped, and we see which side it comes down upon. Which side do you prefer? Well, I'm super excited as we launch into this new series today. It's called The Flip Side. And it's based off of a resource done by Pastor Shane and Anthony Thaxton. And each week, what we're going to do over the course of our time together is to look at both sides of the coin. We're going to look at both sides of the coin, and we're going to look at different characters in Scripture, and we're going to see, hey, there's one side of the coin, there's the other side of the coin, but sometimes we have to know both sides of the coin to see that God works in the most mighty of ways. Not just on one side that we prefer, that looks great, that is all together, that is coming together to be able to be what Scripture may have called it to be, but even on the other side of the coin as well. The ones that we're not always super proud to show. Those ones that can get a little messy sometimes. In both sides of the coin, the Lord is moving. Just like he's moving in these characters in Scripture, he's moving in our lives as well. And so each week we're going to look at different characters, and we're going to see things that went well and things that did not go as well. There were some failures that occurred, but we're going to see that God can use both sides of our coin for his glory. We have to be able, church, and if you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. We have to be able to look at both sides of the coin, regardless of the stuff that we're proud of and not proud of, to be able to understand who we are and who God is calling us to be. And this morning, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you, or your phones, or however you take part, it'll be on the screen as well. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3, looking at Adam, the story of Adam and Eve. And we're going to be looking at the fall this morning. And Grant talked about last week, talking about what does it mean in the beauty of creation for God to breathe his breath into our lungs for us to be able to see this idea of the Imago Dei, which is that we were created in the image of God. But we're going to continue this morning. But as we see the beauty of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see the flip side in Genesis chapter 3. And that's where we're going to look at the fall. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. And Pastor Shane started this a few weeks ago, and I'm going to continue it. If you are able, out of reverence, I would encourage you to stand for the reading of God's word. This is Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. We're going to be all throughout chapter 3 this morning, but we're going to start with the first 10 verses. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die." "No, you will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit, hold please, and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And this is the word of God for the people of God, and we say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You may be seated. So there's a lot going on in this passage, right? And we see the joys, and we see the beauty of that, but we also see the tough part of that as well, right? But if you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, I believe God is calling us to look at this, and he's been working on my heart with this over the last couple days too. But the main idea here we see is this in this scripture. We see that sin enters the world when Adam and Eve listen to the noise versus the truth. We see that sin entered into the world. We see the fall. It entered into the world when Adam and Eve listened to the noise versus the truth. Think about it for a second. When you're trying to turn on a radio and you go through a not very clear area, what are you going to receive? Static, right? It's so not fun. But you're going through static. You're going to get that access noise. When you turn on a TV and you have bad weather coming through, what's going to happen, right? You're not going to get a good picture. And there's going to be that little box that says, "Signal unclear. Please call this number if you're looking for more information." Somebody needs to give me an amen on that. I know we've all been there once or twice, right? So often when we focus on the noise, but we don't, so often when we focus on the noise, but we don't have the full picture, we can miss the full work of God that is going on in our life. in the midst of this, and in church, I want to really be clear on this, is that what was going on in the fall when Adam and Eve ate that apple, it wasn't that they were walking through the garden saying, man, I'm really hungry. I'd really like something to eat. It wasn't about that. It wasn't really about, hey, I need my apple. I really want some apple juice. What they were saying here is this. They had the serpent in their ear saying, did God really say, will you really die? What God had declared as truth had began to be seen as noise or uncertainty. And this is where it all changes. But doesn't that happen to me and you, right? We get so bombarded, not just in our world, but even just in our mind. From the business of this world to our job, our home life, our thoughts of everything we have to do, social media and all its greatness pushes us to compare and ask the question, what do we have that we currently don't have? When we look at Adam and Eve's flip side, what we see is we have to be people who discern who we listen to and how we listen. We have to pray, Lord, would you give me ears to hear what you are calling me to? It's not just about listening what God is saying to us, but it's about accepting it. So many people are like, Andrew, I know that. Like, I have to listen to it and accept it. But so many times, I feel this even in my own life, we get to the point where we know what God has to say, but we don't believe it down here. And that's when it gets hard. When those curveballs of life come, it's when it gets hard. We have to not just listen to what God is saying, but accept it as truth. Choosing to not just listen, but to trust that God is who he says he is, and what he says is faithful through the end of days. Amen? We have to believe 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and self-control. I don't know about you, but I have been declaring that this week. And I think there are three ways that the fall shows us how believing the noise instead of truth will get us into trouble. And we see that as this chapter is the Flagstaff chapter where sin enters into the world. And church, this world is ravaged with all of these voices being listened to and trust being broken left and right. And sometimes we get to the point where we're like, is it really even worth it to trust what someone is saying? That's the reality. So what's the truth here? What's the truth? I believe there are three things that this scripture is saying that pushes us to say, hey, we've got to recognize the noise and we have to find and live into God's truth that he has for our lives. So the first thing we see here is this. Listening to noise over truth can make real truth harder to find. When we listen to the noise over the truth, that makes finding real truth hard. I don't know about you, if you were growing up and maybe you were at home or maybe you were with friends or maybe you were in community areas with a bunch of different people, but you may have had the video games going or the TV running and the radio on and everybody was talking and it was really loud and you had someone come in and say, it is so loud in here, I can't even think. I can't even think. Anybody been there before? I know I have. We get so overwhelmed with the busyness of this world, we struggle not just to trust something, but to even devote ourselves to trust what is being said. And we see this happening in the first 10 verses, right? The serpent didn't come up to Adam and Eve and say, hey, come sin with me. He didn't come up to him. What does he do? What does he do? If you look in the scripture, he says, hey, did God really say? Did he really say you were going to die? No, you're just, if you eat that apple, you're going to look just like God. You're going to be just like God. So what does he do? He plants noise in our head through the vehicle of uncertainty. Through the vehicle of uncertainty, he puts this noise in our head to make us say, well, did he really? Did he maybe? Did he actually? And I don't know about you, but I can relate a lot with those questions. So when we get to verse 10, God comes with this objective truth, and he asks this question, but it's a question that comes from authority. In verse 10, he says, who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? The Lord knew what was going on here. Both the man and the woman divert the question with excuses at first until we get to verse 13. And what does he say? What do they say in verse 13? Okay, you see, the serpent got me, and I ate the apple. You see, church, so often, and especially when we get caught where we are not supposed to be, we have tactics. We have ways and things we can pull out and say, hey, I'm going to get past this. We try and talk our ways out of it. We maybe blame it on someone else. But we see the reality of truth that Adam and Eve needed to hear, and I think we need to hear it as well today, church. James 1:19 says this, my dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You see, part of the beginning, as we experience the process of removing the noise and choosing truth, is to tune our hearts to hear truth. And there is only one source of truth that comes, and that comes from God himself. When we seek his truth and his face first, we get to see his truth and his face, and everything changes. I think about a pair of sunglasses, right? When you put a pair of sunglasses on and they're a little dirty and you can't always see fully out of them, or maybe you dropped them and there's a nice little crack in the midst of that sunglass, but you get that brand new pair of sunglasses and you throw it on and you're like, wow, I can see differently. You see, when we get to the point of there is so much noise that I can't even think, we have to intentionally stop. Say stop. Stop. One more time. Say stop. Stop. There it is. We have to do what David did. I love Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. I love that. We have to practice opening our hands and our heart. When we do that, we attune our path to the Father. And we can flip on both sides of our coin to seek truth over falling into the noise. Because how many people know in this world, When the adversary can get to us, it can be hard to find that truth sometimes. We have to attune our hearts, saying, Lord, would you fill my heart? Would you make me available? Would you mold me until there is nothing left but you? When we do that, we can seek the truth and we can put the noise away and say that there's no place for it here. Second thing we see here is this. We see the result of choosing noise, our noise, over God's truth. We see the result of choosing our noise over God's truth. Look with me in verses 14 through 19. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal, and you will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. He said to the woman, I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children with painful effort. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you. And he said to the man, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For you are dust, and you will return to dust. Once it's clear what is going on here, there's an outcome, right? God's judgment ensues, not out of wrath, but out of judgment. Sin enters into the world for the very first time. And why do we see here that God has this standard of justice and truth that he upholds in the midst from the very beginning of Genesis all the way until now? We see it take different shapes. We talk so often on Wednesday nights as we encounter the Lord that God is a God whose DNA is truth, justice, and righteousness. That's his DNA. That's who he is. That's who he is. That is his standard. Everything that does not live up to that standard cannot last. This is why he calls out the serpent in verse 14 and curses it, making sure it's on its belly forever. You see the foreshadowing. We see some foreshadowing going on that's saying he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. That's later on in the story. Women are called out and told their labor pains will be great. Man has the ground cursed and they will have to be in painful work and labor forever. You see, there are so many voices that we can listen to, and they can be good voices, or they can be voices that take us down the wrong path. What is the wrong path? We have to ask the question, hey, what is good? What is loving? What is pushing us towards the Father and what is not? And we have to be able to discern that. And there are days where we have to give ourselves a whole lot of grace because it's a whole lot easier in some days and it's a whole lot harder in some days. There are a lot of tough places in this world. But we, if you say yes as a follower of Jesus, we get to be the example to the people around us of the truth. We want to encourage people to seek the Lord's voice over the voice of the serpent or the adversary. And I think this psalm right here is beautiful right here, and I ask that this would be our prayer. Psalm 5, verses 4 through 8 says this, "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil cannot dwell with you. The boastful cannot stand in your sight. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who tell lies. The Lord abhors violent and treacherous people. But I enter your house by the abundance of your faithful love. I bow down toward your holy temple in reverential awe of you. Lord, would you lead me in your righteousness because of my adversaries? Would you make your way straight before me?" If you've lived a little bit on this earth, you know that the attacks of the adversary can be real. They can be real. They can be hard. You know that can be the case, but we see here this. God is a truth-seeking God. We know what is coming as the incarnate Christ makes a way for us, but we need to know the truth that the adversary attacks in real ways and makes noise look like truth. And the outcome is not an easy one. But we have to fully understand the reality and the presence of sin in order to fully accept the fact that you and I have a need in our heart that can only be met by an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving Father. It can only be met by the Father. When we accept that, when we come on our knees, when we say, hey, I've got a need that God, only you can meet, we can recognize the attacks of the adversary and we say, you will not stand. You will not stand. That's the truth. That's the truth. We see the result of the outcome when we pick noise over truth, but we have tools to stand up and say this adversary has no place here. Sin enters in the world and we see his standard of truth and justice come out that God does as he casts them out of the garden. But we can take steps to be able to say, hey, we're seeking after truth today. The final thing we see here is this. The third and final thing we see is God clarifies his voice from other voices. The question is, will we listen and trust? It's not just about listening. It's not just about trusting. We've got to have both. Look with me in verses 20 through 24. "The man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made clothing from skins for the man and his wife, and he clothed them. The Lord God said, 'Since the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not reach out, take from the tree of life, and eat and live forever.' So the Lord God sent him away. Excuse me, I missed a verse. The man named his wife Eve. We're going to go back to verse 20. The man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made clothing from skins for the man and his wife, and he clothed them. The Lord God said, since the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not reach out. Take from the tree of life, eat and live forever. So the Lord God sent him away from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove the man out and stationed the cherubim and the flaming, whirling sword east of the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the tree of life. I went back because I missed a very important verse. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21 with me. We see as all of this happened, he begins to cast them out. His judgment had ensued. He says, you guys have got to go. This standard cannot happen. When he recognizes that sin has entered into the world. But after all of that occurs, after the nature of the fall happens, what do we see in verse 21? The Lord God made clothing from skins for the man and his wife, and he clothed them. He clothed them. He made clothes for him. You see, we realize that even in the midst of the greatest struggle in the fall, where we saw that the uncertainty that came into our life, and we were manipulated into believing the noise instead of the truth, we saw that the God of truth upholds his commitment to truth and righteousness. But what does he do? What does he do? He shows his desire of the redemption that is to come as he makes clothes for them. As he makes clothes for them. You see, God uses the story and the lives of Adam and Eve to show us that he is a God of truth and justice, but he loves us more than anything. He upholds his standard with the entrance of sin into the world, but he clarifies his voice among others by not just upholding the standard, but saying, hey, I will watch over you. I will make clothes for you. You see, as we look at both sides of the coin, and I'm going to invite Brother Bo up to lead us as we look to close. As we look at both sides of the coin of Adam and Eve, we realize that one side or the other side of the story will not always give us the full story. Not just with Adam and Eve, but we see it in our life too. In your life, both sides of the coin lead us sometimes into places that we really love and we're really happy about, but sometimes in places that we're not always super happy to share. But God is a God that seeks truth and righteousness, but also love as the Father. And he desires, hey, I don't want to just know one side of the coin. I want to know both sides because I love you more than anything. You see, Adam and Eve's decision to choose the noise over God's truth had an outcome. And as we look at our life, we are faced with noise versus truth every single day. We are faced with noise versus truth every single day. Where things get so concerning is when we get so busy, we forget to attune our hearts to seek to hear that truth. When I get to that place where I wonder what's going on and I don't want to share that nature of the truth, I'm scared and afraid to share both sides of my coin. I love this prayer that I found, and I would encourage you to pray this. Hear these words. Let this be prayed over you, and then we will continue on. Hear this. Lord, enlighten what's dark in me. Strengthen what's weak in me. Mend what's broken in me. Bind what's bruised in me. Heal what's sick in me. And lastly, revive whatever peace and love that has died in me. Hear me, church. Do not think the truth of the Lord is not for you, that you have done too much to be able to receive it. The noise and the work of the adversary is real. But in the midst of this, as you come throughout your life, and I don't know about you, but I pray this too, when I get to the end of my life, I want people to be able to say, and I want the Lord above all else to be able to say, hey, you got some things right. You messed up in a lot of ways. The nature of imperfection is real. But I love not just one side of the coin. I love both sides of the coin. and I desire to know you. So may we be people that don't just seek after the noise, but we seek after the truth, because the noise sometimes is louder than anything. But when we attune our hearts to that of truth, the God of the universe moves in the mightiest of ways. So I'm gonna pray for us, but I wanna encourage you and ask you the question, what is both of your sides of your coin look like? Are there parts of the coin that you love? Are there parts of the coin that you're not ready to share? Maybe there's parts of your life that you're realizing is the noise and it's not the truth. God desires and says, hey, would you lift both hands and say, God, I am not enough, but you are. I don't have it all together, but I desire to be molded by the potter. Would you make me available? God, we love you. We declare that we love you. We declare even in the midst of the presence of sin, Lord, we're sorry. And Lord, as Adam and Eve took part in the noise and the truth, and they chose noise, God, may we be people who attune our hearts to seek after your truth over our noise. Protect us in the good days, Lord. Give us grace when it doesn't go the way that we want it to. Oh God, we need you. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see the will that you have for us, and the energy and the confidence to run after that will with everything. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone agreed and said, amen.